We thank you, Lord, for being able to be together as your people and to listen to your word. May your word speak to our hearts and open our hearts to you. We thank you, Jesus. Well, are there any Christians here? Oh, good, praise God. I got the right assembly. Thank you. What does it mean when we say we are Christians? What does that word Christian mean? Yes, it comes from being a follower of Christ, doesn't it? And what does the word Christ mean? It's not just the surname of Jesus, is it? I'm Ken Barker, and then there's Jesus Christ. It's not like that, is it? That it's Jesus and Christ is his surname. It's not like that, is it? No, okay, thank you. So what does the Christ mean? The anointed one. It's the Greek for Messiah, the anointed one of God. And we just heard how Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, was going from one synagogue to another, preaching. And then he came to his town of Nazareth, and he unrolled the prophet, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he began to read. And what he read was, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me. He has anointed me and sent them to bring good news to the poor." So there's Jesus, aware in his human state that he is anointed, the anointed one of God. Now, when did this anointing take place? Well, of course, right at the incarnation, when it was the Holy Spirit that came and created and sanctified and united the humanity of Jesus with his divinity. That's a big lot to take in, isn't it? But in his human journey, when did his anointing take place? His baptism in the Jordan, huh? When he came out of the waters of Jordan, Luke tells us that he's in prayer, he experienced the Holy Spirit come down upon him in the form of a dove. And he heard the words from heaven, "Father, you are my son, the beloved. My favor rests on you." The anointing. The anointing, you see, of the Holy Spirit on Jesus. And then we read, from there he moves out to the desert, led by the Holy Spirit. He comes back from the desert, powered by the Holy Spirit. Everything's happening in the power of the Spirit. He reaches out and heals people in the power of the Spirit. He preaches in the power of the Spirit. He's full of the Holy Spirit, anointed in the Spirit. And so he stands up here in the synagogue and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me. He has anointed me and sent me to bring good news to the poor." You say, what relevance does that have to me? Well, I'll tell you. Anyone here baptized? Anyone here confirmed? Praise God. I got the right place. If you're not baptized and confirmed, we'll fix you later. Okay? But when you were baptized, maybe you were a child, you were anointed on the crown, huh?
And I was still a child, but I was baptized when I was like a baby.
Good on you. Praise the Lord. And a prayer was prayed over you that the same anointing that was on Jesus will be upon you. The same anointing. That you would share in the anointing of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were baptized as an adult, well, of course, you had the post-baptismal anointing, which actually turns out to be confirmation. Because when you were confirmed as a child, the bishop put a hand on you like this, and he had holy chrism oil and put that on your forehead and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So you're all here, you've received the Holy Spirit in confirmation and in baptism. You're anointed ones, you're Christians. You've been Christed. You've been brought into the experience of Christ Himself. And He's the power of the Spirit that's in Jesus is in you as well. So how come there's room here for people? If this is the truth, really, this church would be burgeoning with people. We couldn't get them in. Everywhere Jesus went, they didn't have room. So everywhere we go, as Christians, they don't have room. Because we're anointed in the Spirit. The words we speak are in the Spirit of God. Touch the hearts of others. And bring others into the life of faith. That's how it's meant to be, huh? Something might have gone a little wrong. I wonder what it was. Yes, it's not as if we're totally without the Holy Spirit. But maybe it's been a bit bottled up, this anointing. You know how you get anointed with oil? And if you really have it like they had in the Old Testament when they anointed priests and kings and that, they just poured the oil over the head. Right over the whole body. We don't do that now because we don't know how people experience that. But that was a very rich symbol of the Spirit being poured out richly and fully. Maybe what's happened is that inside ourselves there's like a bottle that's got the oil in it, but it's sort of contained. That we've got the anointing. But it needs to be broken open for the sake of others. Maybe. Because the anointing is not for you and for me alone. It certainly is anointing that brings us into intimacy with God. That's what Jesus experienced in the Jordan, didn't he? He heard the words of the Father, "You're my beloved Son. My favor rests on you." And you should hear those words every day in your life as the anointed one, as a Christian. The whispering of the Father saying to you and reassuring you, "You are my son, you are my daughter, you're the beloved, my favor rests on you." And you should experience the Spirit welling up within you, allowing you to pray, allowing you to come into intimacy with the Father, allowing you to call Him Abba, Daddy. Because the Spirit's been given to us, it's not a spirit of slavery, taking us back into slavery, but it's a spirit of sons and daughters, enabling us to call God Abba, Father. How beautiful is that? So it is for you, it is for your relationship with God to bring you into deep intimacy with the Lord, but the anointing doesn't finish there. It's meant to break out of you to go to others so that your life becomes a beautiful gift to others. And I'm sure that's happening in the lives of people here, but it could happen in us much more if we just allow the Lord to break us open more in the power of the Spirit that's been given to us. Paul says that we are to be the aroma of Christ, the sweet fragrance of Christ. You know how these days, because it's hot, you can sometimes be sort of getting a little bit of odour, body odour. And so your smell is not that sweet. You could be reeking with body odour, right? Well, how is the smell of your presence, your spiritual presence with others? Does it turn them off? Does it make them sort of stay away from that person? Or is it a sweet fragrance and odour that draws and I just want more of it? Because people love to be around you because of the radiance that you bring and the fragrance of your personality and the presence of Christ within you by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and who draws by the sweet perfume. I believe that women wear perfume for that reason, that doesn't draw the men, huh? And the perfume of God is given to us, the anointing of God is upon us to draw others to Him through our ministry, through our words and through our life if we live our life truly under the anointing of God, we'll be that sort of person. I remember being in the presence of Mother Teresa, and just the simple words that she spoke, and just her simple presence, you were drawn to the Lord, opened up to God. Now you're aware that here was the fragrance of God. Here was the sweet perfume of the Lord being spread very abundantly wherever she went, wherever she walked. And Paul says that's how we are to be. In 2 Corinthians he says this, we're meant to be the sweet aroma of Christ. In our words, and you know, just imagine at the office, you know, are you the sweet aroma of Christ? Amongst your family, are you the sweet aroma? Is that how they experience you? Or will they experience you more like sort of bad body odor? No? How have we experienced, how is the life of Christ given in the power of the Spirit being broken open for others in our lives? And there's an image of this that can help maybe. You know how in John 12, the woman, Mary of Bethany, comes into the house there with a big, with a jar of fragrant perfume. You know, it was enough, very costly ointment, sort of enough to really be a year's wages. And she comes with this pure nard, this bottle of ointment, and she just breaks it over the body of Jesus. And it just pours out, and it's filled with fragrance that fills the whole house. It's a symbol, of course, of what was to happen on the cross when Jesus' body was broken open. And from it flowed the Holy Spirit for us. So that we too, in experiencing the Spirit, can be broken open. Not so much contained in ourselves, but broken, like that jar, broken. And be able to bring the sweet fragrance of our lives to many. So Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, and he sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to bring liberty to captives, to the blind new sight, to the oppressed freedom, and to proclaim the Lord's year of favour. He wants to bring us into that anointing. He wants to bring us into that empowering of the Spirit. So our lives will be the same. That we will be good news to the poor. That our words will bring good news to those that are suffering and struggling most. Those on the edges. Those who have no one maybe to talk to them. Those who are really in great need and homeless or without friends. Those that are feeling an experience of loneliness. Those that are sort of just cast down by life itself. That the words that we speak can lift them up. Can bring the hope that comes from the very heart of Jesus. Because within us is the Spirit from the heart of Christ. And so we're able to be Christ to the other. Because we are Christ. We are the anointed ones of God. We are to be the Christ. Brothers, Jesus doesn't walk this earth anymore. We walk the earth. And he walks in us and through us. He is, you know, found through our hands and through our eyes and through our smile and through the gift that we bring to others of ourselves. That's how Christ is made present. And the words that we speak will be the words of Christ himself. So we bring liberty to captives. To those who are blind and new sight. And through the words that we speak, we can give new perception. You open the minds of others and give them the insight that they need. Because we have the fragrance of God upon us. We have the anointing of the Lord. We are filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit within will give us the words to speak, Jesus says. Now when the time comes, he says, you might be in a tough spot. When the time comes, you won't need to think of what you have to say, because the Spirit will give you the words to speak. He always does. And so we need to live our lives under the anointing. The great tragedy of Christianity is we all call ourselves the anointed ones, but very relatively few were actually living under the anointing and actually acting out their lives under the anointing of the Spirit. So like that jar that was broken open, maybe that container that's within us that has the Holy Spirit needs to be sort of broken open so the Spirit can be expressed more in our lives, so we can have lives that are given for the sake of others more, we can speak the words of God more, we can be an influence on the lives of others and leading them to the living God. Let's allow that to happen, be broken open more in ourselves for the sake of the Spirit's movement through us. That's God's purpose. He pours out His love into us, not to be contained and dammed up, but so that His love can move through us and flow through us for the sake of others. And as a body here, that's our vision here at St. Benedict's. It always has been. The Lord gave it to us from the very beginning. That we wouldn't be a worshipping community for ourselves, coming to the 7 p.m. Mass, just worship, worship, worship. But our worship would be such that it would draw many others, because our lives are such that they touch the lives of others out there. And they're led here to share in this anointing, to share in what we've experienced first. It's always what God wants to do with His people. He gives them the mission. He consecrates them with His Holy Spirit, and then He sends them. And that's what we celebrate every time we come here, that we're the consecrated people of God, set apart for His purposes, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're the priestly people of God in that sense, but we're also the prophetic people of God, sent by the Spirit to go out and to bring others into this wonderful experience that we have here each Sunday night of His immense love. And there's one final image about love. You've probably heard it before, but I'll give it again. You know, in Palestine there's two seas. There's the Sea of Galilee, and there's the Dead Sea. And the Jordan River feeds both of them. The Jordan River runs into the Sea of Galilee, and it's teeming with life. It's a beautiful place. You know, with lots of fish and vegetation around the sides of the lake and everything like that. Because the water runs into the sea, and then the sea gives out its water to go further. But the Dead Sea, the water of the Jordan runs into the Dead Sea and it stops there. There's no outlet. And so everything dies there. The Dead Sea is totally dead. If you've been there, it's just like a salt wasteland. And nothing grows up around it. And there's nothing alive in the sea. It's like that with God, you see. The love of God is meant to be poured into us like the Sea of Galilee, and then poured out from us to others, and then we're alive. But if the love of God is poured into us like the Jordan flowing into the Dead Sea, then there's no outlet. Then we die. We're really dead. There's a lot of dead people walking around. They may have experienced the love of God, but haven't allowed the love of God to flow through them for the sake of others. And that's what we're speaking about when we listen to Jesus here, speaking about Himself. When Jesus speaks about Himself, He's always speaking about us, because what is given to Jesus is given to us. So He says, the Spirit of the Lord has been given to me. So we can say, the Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, each one of us. And He has anointed me. So He has anointed me. And He has sent me to bring good news to the poor. You can say He has sent me to bring good news to the poor. That's the truth of each one of us. But we must not choke the Holy Spirit, keep the love of God to ourselves, but rather allow the jar to be broken so the sweet fragrance of the Spirit that's been given to us can be poured out for others. We want that to be the truth, not only of our own personal lives, but of this congregation. That's the truth of this manifestation of church. Because church is dead unless it's giving forth life to others. Blessed be the name.